Shabbat Shalom. This morning I come to you in joy this morning, and there's been a lot of heaviness in my heart, but in the morning is when joy comes. And I forget what scripture that is that talks about that, but I wanted to share a few things with you. I was working on putting something out for Yom Kippur, which is on Monday, sunset, Sunday evening, on the 11th through sunset of the 12th is Yom Kippur, the most solemn day of the year. And I have some things written out on our website, thewelltroddenroad.org, on Yom Kippur. And I'm actually putting together, starting to work back on this book that's going to describe each one of the festivals and the plan of salvation. And it's coming along pretty good. I want to be able to get it out. I was going to send out the first chapter as a blog, but I decided that I'm just going to hold back on that and just kind of share my heart this morning a little bit. I was having a discussion this morning, and what kind of came out, I'm like, oh, I need to share that, because this whole thing is about Yom Kippur. It's about afflicting ourselves and getting things right with Abba and positioning ourselves. And that's what it came to me with this morning, is that when Father sees us the end from the beginning, he knows what we will become in the end. So he has great mercy upon us. He knew us from the foundation of the world. And when he gets ready to do something, he reaches into our womb, our spirit area. He begins to turn us. He begins to position us as a baby is positioned that is not turned correctly to go through the birth canal to be birthed. Father will reach into us, and sometimes it's painful to turn us and to position us so that he can birth something within us that he is trying to deliver and trying to bring us to that next place that we are supposed to be, to keep us on the path that he already knows that we will travel upon, though we don't know, because we are outside of that dimension of his knowing. And as I was this week, I was getting back into 2 Corinthians, and one of my favorite chapters, 2 Corinthians 10 and 11. But don't we always seem to have some struggle with the flesh? And even Shaul was, or Paul, he struggle with the flesh, and he struggled, and he shared with the people through his letters so much. And he goes on and he talks about, and I want to leave this scripture with you and kind of make it the theme of my message, if you want to call that, this morning. But he's talking about, though we walk in this flesh, we're in this body. 2 Corinthians 10:3. We do not fight according to the flesh. And if you are awake at all, you know that we are in the last days, and that verse 4 definitely applies, because the weapons that we should be fighting with are not fleshly, but they are mighty in Elohim for overthrowing strongholds, these strongholds of the enemy. He's pulling out all stops, including speaking to the mind, which is Lucifer's modus operandi, his MO, is what he does. He speaks to the mind. He plays upon our emotions. That's why our emotions have to be completely lined up with Father's. We can be angry and not sin. We can be justified in our actions, yet we do not judge people. All of these things, but he plays upon our flesh, and he leverages our flesh to accomplish what he wants done in his will in our life. And this is what Shaul is talking about, that we must overthrow reasonings and every high matter that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, taking captive every thought to make it obedient to the Messiah. And it goes on, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. When we've proven ourselves through our obedience, we are up for the task of becoming judges over, it says we will judge the messengers or the angels. Speaking of the ones that were in disobedience, the ones that have caused so much problems with mankind to begin with. It is through our obedience, the Father's word, that we will actually be able to judge disobedience and to punish it. But I want to go back to the word reasonings. And I say this because I'm writing another study on Shimon, or Simeon, which is the man, the old man that was in the temple and received Messiah and held him up in his arms and said, "Oh, now I can go home. He says, my face has seen your salvation, Yahuwah." And he begins to prophesy to Miriam. And he begins to tell her some things. And in this study, it will go through each one of those things that he spoke unto her by the Spirit. And what is interesting is at the very end, he says, "A sword will pass through your life, Miriam. But it will expose the thoughts of the hearts of many." Okay, these thoughts. It is the word dialogos, I think it's called dialogismos. And I listened to how it was pronounced so I wouldn't skewer it on this audio, but obviously I did. Logismos is what it's called. And dia, when you have D-I-A in front of it, all that, it is a preposition basically in Greek. And it intensifies the meaning of whatever follows it. It means thorough. So in this aspect, what is logismos? In 2 Corinthians 10, it's the same word that Simeon used, except not with the dia in front of it. But what Shaul said was his overthrowing reasonings. What are these reasonings? Let's look at those. Reasonings comes from the root word logos. As a matter of fact, in the King James, I believe it says imaginations, overthrowing imaginations, which is logismos, which comes from logismomai, I think. Logizomai. And that comes from the root word logos, which we all know, logos. Oh, that's the word. Okay. What it really is, the root word of logos, it means it's an utterance of word and speech. It's communication. It's a discourse often within the mind itself or the heart. And something, there can be a logos within the mind, and it's a conversation that we have. And I want to go into this, and I want to share with you because it's powerful, because it ties into what happened in the garden in finding fault with Elohim. And it oftentimes in the renewed covenant, when it speaks of dialogismos, it means to take an inventory. It means to reckon, to deliberate within yourself. Messiah always called it because he knew what the Pharisees were quote reasoning in their hearts, and is oftentimes he would say, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?" Luke 5:22. And I'm kind of going through my notes as I'm speaking here. It's sometimes in that aspect in Luke 24, why are ye troubled and why do you doubt? Why does doubt arise in your heart? Luke 24. Here, dialogismos denotes unspoken thoughts concerning the truth of what they see. Hence, their questionings and sometimes doubts. I believe that's from the Vine notes. Dialogismos sometimes, I mean, it's an inner questioning, sometimes a dispute, a controversy, and a contention. And in the case of Adam and Eve, it was the enemy kind of played upon their already deciding, you know, well, why can't we eat from that tree? And it is a reasoning of the natural mind in independence of Elohim, because you are questioning within your mind, your reasoning, and it's always has an evil connotation to it every time that word is mentioned. Wherever in the verse that it's mentioned, it always has an evil connotation, because it is your questioning and determining, making a determination that what you believe overrides what the Word and what Father has said already. It denotes the false notations about Elohim entertained in opposition to the facts revealed concerning him and nature. Basically, it is an argument that provokes conflict. It leads to murmurings. It's an inward murmuring, which is the doubting, which is the intellectual rebellion against Elohim. Just because it's not spoken out, it is very much very much true, because it's part of the heart. It's what people think, and it causes us to waver. And that's what in Jacob or James 2:4, and there's several scriptures that use that. But I'm kind of passing through here. It often means these inward reasonings, dialogismos, often means the perverse or vain thinking which contemplates destruction, vain imaginations. This is what we're supposed to be overriding and overthrowing, because it actually turns us against Elohim. And that is what the serpent did when he found fault. And I want to end kind of with this here. Part of my notes to say that it says, if Adam and Eve, who were the closest at the time to perfection and without sin, nurturing the doubt of his word as truth, Father's word and what he said, hey, you eat this, you're going to die, fell into unbelief, then how much more should we be on our guard? This is why David... Sorry, I was checking my phone to make sure that it didn't stop recording for some reason. This is why David prayed, search me and know me and try me and my thoughts to find a wicked way in me. Well, now, why would he pray this? Because he was asking for the reasonings of his heart to be revealed, so that any distorted view of Elohim he had could be dealt with. This must be our prayer. For Elohim can never be with us, Emmanuel, if we believe he is against us. And I want to say that again. For Elohim can never be with us, Emmanuel. That's what Emmanuel means. Elohim with us. If we believe he is against us. And that is the core of what Lucifer wants. Yes, he wants to kill the body. But oftentimes he begins with turning Elohim against us, or turning us against Elohim, basically, because we no longer believe what he says is true. We begin the reasoning process. And this is what I want to share with you for Yom Kippur. And I will get this study out as soon as I can, but it's a day of atonement. It's a day of covering over our wretchedness and our sin. And this is what we've got to cry out for, is for repentance and through humility that until we do that, until we see the reality, because blood brings about reality, and until we look upon that reality and we see, hey, this animal at the time before Messiah came, this animal is having to shed its innocent blood because of my wretched sin. And then what happened with Messiah, Yahushua, and Father sending his only son. We are so thankful for that. And that's, we've got to get a hold of our thoughts. And boy, I'm speaking, I know I say this a lot in a lot of my messages, I speak to myself first, because if it doesn't apply to me, then I'm just a hypocrite that's spouting off a bunch of words. And if I wouldn't even say it, because then I would feel like that, you know, yeah, I'm a hypocrite, and I don't want people listening and hearing what I have to say if I don't truly do what I say. And so I just wanted to leave that with you this morning, and I just want to tell you Shabbat Shalom, and to have a very peaceful, but question where you are at right now. Even if you think that, hey, I'm on top of the world with Father, dig down deep, dig deep within, and cry out to search and know, which is what I'm going to be doing, because that is the key to it all, because he already knows our hearts. And when we start asking ourselves, hey, do I really mean what I say when I spoke that to that person? Or, you know, you start examining yourself. And I know I'm kind of rambling here, but we just want to bless you. May Yahuwah keep you, make his face to shine upon each one of you. Shalom, shalom.